Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Tonight's episode is a live hanger with this wonderful bunch of humans that swing by month in, month out. And we've got some new faces as well tonight, which is wonderful. And they are all joining us this evening to discuss artists that begin with the letter C. Now, the rules are, if you've not listened to episodes A and B, you can't have Curtis Mayfield, but you can have Nick Cave. I mean, I've just given one of mine away there. but obviously with bands, you can have... you know, as long as it starts with C, that's fine. But artists can't start. First name can't be a C. It's got to be the second name. Right. Okay. Well, look, let's get things rolling. We'll try and work around the group a few times so everyone can throw a choice in and some honourable mentions as well. As I see, we've got another person joining us. Just going to let them in. I'm going to start on the top left-hand corner of my screen, and that's with Big Steve. Steve, give me an artist that begins with C. And I presume you're going to go Double C Cannibal Corpse, right?
I am going to go with someone a bit far in the left there. Williams. I brought some stuff in because I was a bit a band called Church of Misery.
Okay.
They're a Japanese like doom band who are obsessed with serial killers. So all their songs are about serial killers. So for instance, the first track's called BTK. The second track's about Ian Brady and Myra Hindley.
Oh,
you've got one about Dennis Nielsen. Oh, they got loads of all the good serial killers you can think of, they write songs about them.
Why did I start with you? What a joyous way to kick off the playlist.
I have a cheerful ones as well.
I don't think you've ever answered anything on this podcast without the word doom being mentioned at some point.
Well, you've got a brand, you've got to stick with it.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Great shout, Steve. Brett, what you got for us, mate?
The obvious choice. It's my namesake. It's Carter, the Unstoppable Sex Machine.
Love it. Love it. It's on my little notes as well. I can see somebody has held up a cover of, is that Rubbish, I believe?
Yeah,
someone's held up the 12-inch of Rubbish. What's the B-side of that? It's a cover, isn't it? What is the B-side? Let's have a little look at that one.
Rent.
Oh, what a cover that is as well.
And then Alternative Alf Garnett.
Yeah. I think on there it says, instead of you took me to a restaurant on Broadway, I think Jim Bob squeezes in, you took me to a restaurant on Fulham Broadway. He squeezes that extra wording, which is beautiful. Fantastic. Tell me about your love of Carter, Brett.
They're amazing. But that, again, as we said, some of their covers are just fantastic. I remember going to a gig and they were the surprise warm-up and they did a whole set of covers as a surprise warm-up and it was
wonderful,
fantastic. Yeah, good. They were, that was upper sixth, Carter USM. an EMF. That was it.
Wonderful. I've seen your beloved EMF have announced dates for Jesus Jones.
Yes. Funnily enough, I've got tickets for that.
Oh, what a surprise.
What a surprise. I think it was about 10:02. That'd be interesting. They've got Echo Belly as well.
All right.
That's the warm-up. Well, the warm-up. I don't know who's headlining, how it's going to work, if they're going to play together, because they say it's a joint gig. I'm not sure, but when you get Ian Dendron, you can ask him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you've mentioned EMF and Jesus Jones there. I'm going to move on next to Eric, who's joining us this evening from the States. And of all of those kind of early 90s, you know, Grebo bands, as I referred to them, it was EMF and Jesus Jones that had the number ones in the States. I think Unbelievable went to number one, didn't it? And I believe, was it Right Here, Right Now?
Was huge.
Yeah, that was a big hit stateside as well. Eric, what have you got for us, mate, for an artist beginning with the letter C, please?
My first one, I want to go with The Cure.
Glorious. I already see a Cure t-shirt in the house tonight as well.
there you go.
Love it. Give us a track by The Cure, Eric.
Well, on your show, you always do the what's the greatest ever intro. And I think when I bought Disintegration, and it has those bells at the beginning, and it's really quiet, and I was turning it, why can't I hear it? And then the cymbal and the keyboard and the bass just come in so loud.
Yeah.
I just, the first three songs of that album, it's one of my favorite three-song runs on any album.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. But I like, you know, I like a bunch of their albums.
Yeah, I think you'd be pushed to find someone that didn't like Disintegration. It is a masterpiece of its time, and it holds up massively now. And I mean, God, I think I was probably about 15 when that come out. You don't want to get your heart broken at 15 and have that on in the background. That'll take you to a different place. That will. No one needs to hear pictures of you when you've had your heart broken for the first time. They'll ruin you. That will. Glorious. Have you got to see The Cure?
I saw them for that tour, and it was a big deal at Dodger Stadium at the time. It was a band called Shelley Ann Orphan was the first opener. And then the Pixies were the second opener, and Love and Rockets were the third opener, and then The Cure. So,
wow,
big all day thing. And I was 13, and my buddy and I went to this, and my dad sat in the car in the parking lot. So, bless him.
Ah, superb, wonderful, solid choice.
And I've seen him a couple times since then. They're always good.
Oh, I'm jealous you saw him on that tour. That's fantastic. Stephen, what have you got for us, mate?
Oh, I'll start with the obvious big one for me, Curve.
Ah, oh, perfect.
Everything from the opening bar of 10 Little Girls all the way through to the last bit of Joy, the only song that Tony doesn't sing, when Dean's singing that one, every track, the fucking winner.
Yeah.
Loved them. There's not a week goes by where I don't listen to them in some shape or form. Just absolutely love them. But they pick one particular song and probably pick either Star or Die Like a Dog.
Oh, lovely choices. I mean, Brett just mentioned Echo Belly there. That's where Debbie went on to, wasn't it, after Curve. Okay. Did you get to see Curve?
Numerous times. I mean, this was the bit of a steak.
Oh, look at that.
T-shirt. But it's Hot Rock City.
Wonderful.
A lot of use.
Oh, I love that.
I've seen it on every tour. And one of the best ones I've seen them was when they played King Tut's, which is a tiny venue. So I'm here. And they're just there. All you've got is nothing. And it's only like five rows deep. And
yeah,
that's where Oasis were sort of first.
Yeah, that's right.
and whatnot.
Yeah, I never got to see them. They played the Toothbrush. They did actually play my venue quite early on, but I wasn't there that night for some reason. And I don't know why, because my love of Tony Halliday was quite a well-known thing in my circle of pals. So the fact that I never got to see her in the flesh doing what she does, not a good move on my behalf. What are you holding up there, Mr. Lovell? Is that a Curve concert ticket?
Yeah, just found it. It's from Tuesday, the 24th of March, 92. That cost £5.50 a ticket.
That seems in double the price.
Well, disgusting.
Well, I mean, you've got your mic off now, Si, and you're next on the row of talkers. So, what you got for us, mate?
Got my favourite female singer.
Go on.
Which Cat Power.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely.
And I guess it comes under C because it's not a real name.
Yeah.
And it's a bit debatable. Yeah, I love her. I think she's incredible. I think she's just got a wonderful, wonderful voice. And she's been through she's had a bit of a good life, enjoying herself, I think, and had problems and that. Her newest, have you heard her newest album she's done, the Dylan one?
Because did she do a covers album recently?
Yeah, this is literally, it's the 1966 Royal Albert Hall concert that Dylan did. And she just basically repeats it. And it's brilliant. I mean, you've got to be a Dylan fan, obviously. But again, her vocal just kills it. Brilliant.
Oh, fantastic. Did you sort of get into her when she first sort of come through?
Yeah. Yeah, when her first album, just like one of those by chance that you just give it a go and instantly liked it. And then really loved her. But then she was, when the Greatest album came out, I just thought that was just such a brilliant album. I thought her voice was lovely on that. And then she did down Jules Holland. And she came on with her Bare Feet and she did the Greatest on that. And that was just amazing, I thought.
Yeah.
Like she's just, great, great singer songwriter.
Splendid. Good choice.
Quite nice looking as well, but that's nothing to do with it.
Kirst, what you got, mate?
Well, I must have missed the point about the fact that they were not allowed to start with the first name with the letter C. So my list has been thrown into disarray. Apologies. I'm hoping I can claw it back with the Carpenters. Am I allowed them?
Of course you are.
Okay,
fantastic choice.
I absolutely love them. I mean, Karen Carpenter's voice just absolutely kills me. Like, you can hear that she's had, that terrible, painful life that she had. But 1 minute you're on top of the world and you're all bubbly and stuff like that. And then when, Rainy Days and Mondays comes on, that can just bring you straight back down. I love the Carpenters. I think they're great. And her voice is just fantastic. Definitely, I think, one of my favourite voices, male or female, out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting no argument from me there, Kirst. I think, I mean, it's sadness personified, her voice, and it just breaks you. And, and I guess the fact that it's the story of Karen Carpenter is pretty there, it's all out there, isn't it? And it when you know that, it really sort of, to really bulks out just how the sadness in that vocal is it's heartbreaking. And fucking hell, Rainy Days, what a record that is. It's just superb and Superstar as well. What a fucking tune that is. Sonic Youth's cover of that was splendid as well.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that actually.
Yeah, it was a double A. It was Someone will be able to help me out here. I'm sure Paul Cummings, you might be able to know this. It was a double A, wasn't it? It was Sonic Youth Superstar on one side, and what was on the other side? Was it a double A?
Have the clue, sorry. No.
I'm sure it was for a charity thing.
Well, so I got on 7-inch red, red one, and it's
Red Cross, a Red Cross the other red side. Cross. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I knew it was a double A. Yeah. Well, Paul, you've got your mic off now. You're next, mate. What have you got for us?
Great. Well, this band, I don't think I fully appreciated them at the time, and it's one of those bands that I kind of regret never ever going to see live as well. It's the Cramps. Because they were just really, I think just that kind of sound, you know, that 50s and the sort of echoey singing and the surf guitar, and they were really seedy and edgy and a wee bit scary as well.
Yeah.
And they did the Tube in 1986, and they did like a sort of 20-minute set on there, and it's on YouTube now, actually. It's absolutely brilliant. I remember I had it on tape, and I used to watch it all the time. Probably wore the tape out watching it, actually. But yeah, it just sort of reminds me, Brett, you mentioned Upper Six. It was kind of like, you know, when I was in Upper Six, I was clubbing and stuff, and there was a kind of psychobilly group who sort of liked that, but the goths liked them as well. So they sort of like, you know, spanned those two areas. But yeah, fantastic band. You know, they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
Most of them are dead anyway. So yeah, but great band.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Fantastic shout. Hello, Sean. What have you got for us, mate?
Hello. I'm going to check in The Clash.
Fantastic.
One of my favourite bands, but if not my favourite band. Hugely influential on me and obviously loads of others. I just remember hearing the first album for the first time and the drum intro for Janie Jones. And then those guitar stabs kick in and I'm like, I remember thinking, like, I've been looking for this without knowing, like, and it's just like, this is what I've been looking for and I didn't know it. And I was just like, yeah, I'm sold. Had to bring them up.
Love it. Yeah. AMAC's a great feeling when you hear something for the first time and you feel like, where's this been all my life?
Yeah. Well, I've been getting into, like, I was into like metal and stuff. I was getting into bands and stuff and I just hadn't really explored like the punk side of things, and just around my friend's house and just listening to his dad's records and stuff, and we chucked that on and was like, yeah.
Yeah. Janie Jones would do it as well.
Yeah.
What?
I think that whole album is flawless, I think.
Yeah, love it, love it. Right, I'll throw one in the mix before we go around the circle again. What have I got here? Right, we've had The Cure, we've had Carter. Okay, right, I'm going to go with Cameo, because they're a band that in the probably around 86, 87, I had a mate whose older brother was a proper soul boy and was into his Luther Vandross and lots of kind of Lonnie Liston Smith and Roy Ayers and stuff like that. And he said, oh, have you heard of like funk? And I was like, what's that mean? And he said, oh yeah, check this out. And he played me Single Life by Cameo. And I remember staring at the cover and looking at Larry Blackmon and Tommy Jenkins and Nathan Lieutenant and thinking, they look fucking crazy. And that thing that you said, Paul, about looking at the Cramps and just thinking, they look a bit scary. They look like a gang. And then kind of, we were sort of listening to it around my mate's house, because he'd nick his brother's records, and then they released Word Up, and obviously it becomes this big sort of global smash, and Candy and Back and Forth, and then obviously you get to see Larry Blackmon on Top of the Pops with the black tights and the red cod piece, and yeah, they're a band that not that many people seem to be into, but they just caught me at a certain point when I was probably about 13, 14, and I just still fucking love them. And I got to see him at the Jazz Cafe about 6 years ago, and he squeezed his way back into that cob piece. He's quite a big fella now. He's Larry, but they were just absolutely fantastic, and it's great now that people have rediscovered Candy and are doing the kind of synchronized dancing at every kind of wedding and disco and stuff now. It's lovely. But yeah, I'm going to go Cameo as my first. Right, From joyous funk music, we'll go back to the cemetery. Big Steve, what you got for us, mate?
Well, hang your head in shame, sir, because I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go and stick the record down. I'm going to go with...
Oh, yes, mate. Fantastic. And is that the picture disc of Purple Love Balloon?
It is indeed, yeah.
Oh,
with the...
Love it.
It's just, I don't know, it's one of them bands that when they were in their pomp, they were never kind of on my radar for some reason. And it just so happened, I can't remember how I got into it. And then I just found them. I was like, that's really good fun.
Yeah.
Quite a laugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought I'd dig the 7-inch out and.
Love it. Love it. What a banger that is as well. And I think the single before that. Written Strange is a fantastic indie pop tune.
John Lennon's my favourite song.
Yeah, yeah. What a front man he was as well. And I don't know if could do a few shows a couple of years back.
I think so.
That they may have dusted off the guitars and played a couple of shows. But yeah, did you ever see them, Steve? Or were they sort of done and dusted by the time we got?
Yeah, they were well done and dusted by the time I was.
Yeah.
By the time they kind of got on my record deck, so.
Yeah, I played The Brush a few times back in the day, and yeah, it would have been a bit before your time, I think, Steve.
But
solid shout, mate. Brett, what are you going to follow up Carter and the Unstoppable Sex Machine with, mate?
I'm going to set the scene. I think it's 1998. It's Glastonbury, Saturday afternoon, about sort of 7 o'clock. I think Tired and Emotional. We go to the dance tent, we walk in, hey boy, hey girl, superstar DJ, it fucking went off. Hemphill Brothers were amazeballs. Absolutely fantastic evening. Part two to that story is after a while, when I get some food, and Fatboy Slim was headlining, you couldn't get near it. And we sit in the crowd and go, look at each other. Look, we live in Brighton. He lives in Brighton. He plays down the road every week. Why are we bothering trying to do this? Went up the road. It is not my cup of tea. Went to the main stage, watched REM, and went, these are fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I was genuinely like, yeah, this is amazing. But yeah, back to the thing, Chemical Brothers, absolutely stunning. And they've defined a scene.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Favourite Chemical Brothers track?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
The Soul Wax rework of Hey Boy, Hey Girl is fucking amazing.
Yep. But it's the favourite album, I would say, is Lost in the K-Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Off of that. Hello.
Yeah. I mean, they ain't shy of a tune, are they?
No. They did, before they were Chemical Brothers, they were the...
Dust Brothers.
Dust Brothers, I did Chemical Beats. Mm. I had that on Junior Boy's Own. That's amazing. That still goes off if you play that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, solid shout, mate. Solid shout. You're going to follow The Cure with what, Eric?
I'm going to go Cocteau Twins.
Oh, fantastic shout. Oh, I mean, where'd you start with them?
Well... Yeah, I don't think I knew about them till maybe after they broke up. I can't remember when their last album came out. That I think it was Milk and Kisses or something.
Hmm.
But Saul was playing them at work, and I kept walking past the office door, and I was, what is this music you're playing? They're playing Heaven or Las Vegas, which is my favorite album of theirs. So. I'm kind of more into that mid-period of theirs, not so much the first two really dark, gothy ones, but that, you know, more the dream pop stuff.
Yes.
Love Victoria Land and the all those singles they released, 84, 85. Yeah.
Oh, perfect, mate. I mean, we mentioned Karen Carpenter's voice, but I mean... Cocteau Twins, I mean, her voice is ridiculous, isn't it?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And like nothing you've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not many people you can say that about, is there? When you hear her voice, it's like nothing you've ever heard before. It's, yeah, it's otherworldly. It's ridiculously beautiful. Yeah. Great shout. I did see you shaking your head there, Kirsty. Do you have that on your list as well?
No, I completely forgot about them. So I was like, I couldn't believe that I hadn't even thought about them. But yeah, Eric, absolutely ditto. They're fantastic.
Wonderful. Oh, well, you've got your mic off, Kirsty. What you got next?
Well, you really have thrown my list into disarray. I had Candy Stanton, Carole King. I had all these first name people. What about if they've just got one name and it begins with C?
Yeah, go on, you can have that.
And my cool points are really going to plummet instantly.
Go on.
But I can't deny that I love a bit of Cher. I really do love a bit of Cher. And I'm so sorry because I know that everyone on here is far cooler than me. But I can't help it. Like, Turn Back Time, if that comes on, I can't help it. I'm really sorry. I'm trying to think of something else that I can like claim back quickly. There's the Chantels, who are quite sweet. They're like sort of the 60s.
The Chantels or the Chantels?
Chantels.
Right.
So they're a bit like the Shirelles and all that sort of stuff. That kind of song and songs and stuff like that. So they're really sweet. They've got some really sweet songs.
We got the Crystals as well for girl groups.
And the Crystals, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My second one's Cher. I'm really sorry.
Fine, no worries. I'm just going to mute you for the rest of this now, Kirst. Stephen, what you got, mate?
Oh, remember Baker Grove?
Yeah.
And they gave us PJ and Duncan.
Yep.
And they also gave us Crush.
Right.
Which was Donna Ear and somebody else.
Oh my god, yeah.
There was a single, Jellyhead, and I fucking love it. It's pure bubblegum, throwaway pop nonsense, but I fucking love it. It's kind of like Republica translation, but it's all that sort of stuff, a bit more sort of electronic-y, but
yeah,
the electronic-y. Republica's kind of the closest thing that it's like, but it's just a throwaway song, but I fucking love it.
Excellent, excellent. I mean, he's took a bullet for you there, Kirst.
That saved me a little bit, I've got to say. You.
From Cher to Donna Air. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Mr. Lovell, what you got, mate? Cat Power, what are you following that up with?
Weirdly, it's my favourite male vocalist of all time. It's David Crosby.
Oh, lovely.
Adore him on every level. Love his from Buff, when he was Crosby, Stills and that, with the Birds, all right-ish. Just his his vocal is from it's angelic. It's another level. And obviously, when he's Crosby, Stills, and Nash, I think him and Graham Nash, I think together are just otherworldly almost.
Yeah.
And he's had a rough old time in his life as well. And he died, I think last year he died. Mm. But I think his vocal, if anyone's heard a bit, dig deep. And his guitar playing was phenomenal as well. It really was. And he had a little cheeky glint in his eye. I see him every time I have a piss because I've got a photograph of him above my toilet. He's got a little twinkle in his eye. And his book is my favourite book of anyone's life story ever as well.
Oh, fantastic.
It's my favourite book, without doubt. When he travelled across in the 60s, just went out on his yacht that he bought and just travelled around the West Indies with two other women, and they didn't wear clothes for about 3 months. And they just travelled around doing
fun stuff.
Crosby did. Well, wonderful, wonderful vocalist, more than anything.
Yeah. Love
it. Is anyone else a fan?
Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, yeah. Right. Paul Cummings, what you got?
Julian Cope.
Ah, splendid.
I'm just a massive fan of Julian. I love him. I think he's very underrated. And he's really prolific. He's still going, still writes really, really catchy tunes. I know he's probably not been sort of commercial for years, but he's fantastic. And he's probably the last person I saw before the lockdown in concert, sort of in last gig I saw before lockdown happened 4 years ago. He hasn't toured since then. That's another way he's up to.
Yeah.
But he's getting pretty old. I believe about 65 or something.
Yeah.
But he's fantastic. Love him.
I mean, apart from the fact that I did write to him once and he was very, very, very rude to me. I'll let it go because he's made so much good music. But have I ever told the story of when he performed at the Toothbrush? So he played around the time of, well, Shut Your Mouth. He part of that tour. He come and played the Brush. And at the time, he had the mic stand that was like a kind of crutch. I don't know if you remember. And
he used to sort of climb up and then sit on it.
Yeah. But I think he was enjoying the finer things in life at that point in his career. And I don't mean on a yacht with David Crosby. Like, was in a bit of a situation, I think. And this was a little bit before my time. But the owner of the Toothbrush went backstage, and it was a sold out gig because obviously it was Julian Cope, and he couldn't string a sentence. He was gone, like absolutely gone. And I think people were like, oh, we're going to have to cancel the gig. And the owner of the club, who's quite a sort of brash Welshman, was like, no. And he went, come on, Julian. And he said, he literally picked him up, walked him onto the stage, wrapped him round that mic stand, slapped his ass, and went, do your thing. And apparently he just put on the greatest performance you've ever seen. As soon as the music started, he was just muscle memory and went back in. But yeah, so he couldn't even put together a sentence and was absolutely gone. But got on stage and done his thing. I was literally listening to Trampoline this afternoon, which is fantastic.
Rich,
yeah. What a
first time I saw him was in the Manchester International. It was around about 91, so it was there's an album called Peggy Suicide which came out then.
Oh, what a record.
A brilliant record. And he climbed up the speaker stack, and across the stage was kind of like this sort of tarpaulin that was kind of like, you know, like a roof of the stage. And he got himself kind of stuck in the tarpaulin, and he was kind of like, you know, in it. And they had to cut him out to get him back on stage again. He could climb back. It was hilarious.
Oh, but, you know,
I think there was probably a few substances being...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's glorious.
I just love it.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Sean, what have you got, mate?
I was going to say Kems, but Brett beat me to it, which is fine. So I'm going to go for a hip hop group called Czarface, which is Inspect Deck's side project. Really fun, well produced stuff. Yeah, I love it when they like the. Artwork's always really great on the records and stuff. Got one here. It's all
look at that.
I've got that. That's wicked.
It's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, the, like loads of comic book and wrestling references in the lyrics and stuff. Yeah, and prolific too. They're releasing albums all the time. So, yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, fantastic choice, mate. I did have, when I was going through some C's today, I was going through some playlists and I didn't have loads on here, but only Cypress Hill, obviously. But that's a solid shout. I'm going to throw in one that I don't imagine many of you, and I'm not trying to be indie wankery, many of you have heard. I know for a fact Brett Carter would have. But when EMF split, Zach Foley started a band with a guy called Steve Ludwin. And Steve Ludwin apparently was going to be the front man of Velvet Revolver, but that never happened. And he then become really famous for injecting himself with snake venom, and like Vice done documentaries on him, and he's years ago was all over the socials that he keeps snakes and he injects himself daily with snake venom. Crazy man. But Zach Foley put together this band called Carrie, and they released one album, and it was a little bit kind of Weezer-ish, like very sort of surf pop. The first single was this kind of like, well, I don't even think the first single was called, what's the first single called? It's gone. But they had a fantastic single called Breathe Underwater. But the track that I want to mention is, it's the last track on the record, and it's a hidden track, and it's called My Friend. And it's even more poignant when you know about the passing of Zach, and you listen to it now, because it's just this fantastic, it almost sounds like very early Foo Fighters as well. It's just this really good sort of jangly sort of pop rock. It's just fantastic. The whole album's just got so many cracking tunes on it, and I got to sort of support them a couple of times on some shows, which was, as I've said to you, Brett, was the sort of first time that I met Zach a few times. And you know, apart from the fact that he was one of the most handsome people you will ever see, but different level cool, and just, you know, left one super cool band and started another super cool band, I was in complete awe, and then got to check the album out, and then I just love the album. And it's saying that it was a, you know, commercial flop. The band sort of disappeared quite quickly, but it's just one of them little hidden gems, and I love it. And put together a little playlist. I'll see if I can find the track "Friend" by Carrie, because it's a beauty. It really is. And if you like your Weezer, like early Weezer and stuff like that, then I'm sure you'll like the album. Almost kind of a little bit like the first album by Fountains of Wayne, with like Radiation Vibe and I'm trying to think what the other singles were off of that. Survival Car and stuff like that. Like really good.
To the Bottom.
You Sing to the Bottom. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. That first record, the first and second Fountains of Wayne albums, the second album with like Denise, what a single that is. Like, yeah, what a cracking band they are. And the story about them is fantastic, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you know the deal, how they kind of got their recognition, Eric. Like, because they, the guy from Fountains of Wayne wrote the track "That Thing You Do" for the film, that the Tom Hanks film, "That Thing You Do," and he wrote the songs for the band, the Wonders. That's it. That was what they were called. And then you know, about a year later, they dropped Radiation Vibe, which is one of the greatest pop records ever made. I'm also aware that I've said one of the greatest pop records ever made about 5,000 times on this podcast now. The Radiation Vibe is a cracker. It really is. But yeah, I've moved on to Fountains of Wayne. I'll save that for F's. But that was C. Right. Well, look, we've got about another 20 minutes left. So has anyone got any more if we work our way around? Wonderful. Whoever's got one ready to go, jump in. Stephen, what you got, buddy?
Aim for some bombastic rock. Good.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
With a sonic tempo and listen to the call.
Yeah.
Get the lighters out and sing along the Edie Chow Baby, our sweet soul sister. This OTT bombastic rock is prime.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe the cult hasn't been mentioned already. I thought someone was going to get in quite quickly with the cult. And I mean, the thing is, it's like, Ian Astonbury still looks so fucking cool. I literally see a picture of him and Billy Duffy the other day, and it was like, is he having a laugh? Like, he still looks absolutely incredible. And I see they were actually performing Sanctuary on some American sort of radio station. His voice was still absolutely fantastic. And obviously, Billy Duffy's playing still, you know, one of the best out there. But yeah, fantastic shout. You're a big cult fan, then, Steve?
So. The first couple of albums, really after Sonic Temple, they get fucked up their own arses and fucking really had its impact on them.
So, yeah.
Things went a bit wrong.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Brett, what you got, buddy?
Can I give a shout out to Chaz and Dave?
Oh, I've got them on my list. Yes, of course you can.
There Ain't No Pleasing You is one of the greatest songs ever written.
Absolutely.
It's different. It's not what you expect, but you think about it, it's like it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is a perfect record. Eric.
Oh, sorry.
So, Eric, have you heard of Chaz and Dave?
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with them.
Brett, can you try and explain Chaz and Dave to an American, please?
On the spot. It's two London geezers with a piano and a banjo singing Cockney songs, and I'm stuck now.
It's really hard to explain Chaz and Dave to people, let alone people that have never heard them from overseas. It's so surreal. Kirst, was you going to throw any kind of help there?
I was just going to say, they've got a song called I Wish That I Could Write a Love Song, and it's fucking beautiful, like it's so sweet. But yeah, Chaz and Dave, I'm trying to think of how you could describe them, because they're not, like, people think that they're novelty, but actually their songs are great and, like, so well.
And they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're really respected musicians, aren't they?
Chaz Hodges was one of the incredible session bass players. Wasn't he? Obviously, he played Durum, Durum, didn't he? That was sampled for Eminem. Like,
What I like. The song, That's What I Like. My wife was going to learn all the words to it. That's what she's still been doing gradually. Because it's such a good song, That's What I Like. It's, I think, oh, what'll be a cop name when I hear that.
So go back 20 years. I tried to book Chaz and Dave to play my wedding, and at the time they'd just split up, and there was a bit of, like, they obviously got back together with the whole thing with the Libertines, where the Libertines kind of started shouting them out, and they started touring with the Libertines. But I ended up speaking to their agent, and they went, I think it was, in the end, I could get Dave for $5,000, but I was allowed to use the word "and" on the invitation as well. So I could have "and Dave" for $5,000, but I couldn't have Chaz. Never happened, but yeah, fantastic. Yeah, Chaz and Dave, great shout. Anyone else got one they want to throw in the mix?
I've got some culture.
Go for it, mate.
Well, very nice.
Don,
John Coltrane.
Oh, he's booked Bit jazz Coltrane. At a party.
Yeah, sorry. really boring, but I had to because I love John Coltrane. Sunday morning. That's all the culture you're going to get from me.
I sorted out your Sunday. I sent you the prayer boat. Did you enjoy it?
Mate, I literally listened to that from when you first put it on there and I started listening to it. I listened to that until about 8:30 at night.
Oh, I just wonderful.
Kept playing it over, and I had a break and I listened to a Blue Nile album.
Yeah.
Between, and I went back to it. Mate, that's an incredible album.
Oh, great. I've
never heard of it. I'd heard of the band and I thought they'd had a single, but didn't know. I didn't recognize it at all.
Yeah.
That album is incredible. I think Kirsten listened to it as well, didn't she?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It's absolutely lush. And I ask every Irish person I ever meet, have they heard of him? And no one ever has. And I just
funny, I don't understand how, with his voice and stuff, how they sort of just slip through the net. Like a lot of, I don't know, unfortunately.
Have they done other stuff as well?
His name is Emmett Tinley. Emmett Tinley. He released a solo album about 10 years ago. Which is really nice. But yeah. Prayer Boat, it is a hidden gem. Okay.
Nobody's had Coldplay yet, have they?
No.
Well, I go back on mute now anyway. Bye.
I was going to say Cub Cut, but yeah.
There you go. Steve's got it. I've got no issues with Parachutes. I've got no issue with Rush of Blood. I think they're both great records. Shall I put myself on mute, lads? Sorry.
No, mate. I could have turned some plenty. I've got plenty more Misery.
Have you?
Yeah, mate, yeah. But I thought I would go with, did you ever listen to James Acaster's Perfect Sounds podcast, I think it's called, where he said about 2016 being the best year for music ever.
Yeah.
And he would choose an album when he'd interview a comedian after they'd listened to it. I have spent so much money listening to that podcast, listening to those albums, thinking, I really like that, I'll buy that. I really like that. I'll buy that. And this is one of the albums I bought, a band called Frying.
I've not heard of
the,
it.
I think you might like this, Stu. The album's called Beyond the Fleetly Gales. And the blurb on the front, because I couldn't describe them, says, a collection of sharp and densely orchestrated songs that celebrate the likes of Queen, REO Speedwagon, and Van Halen. Channeling the power chords and bravado into overblown and electrifying power pop.
Oh, wow.
Fucking brilliant. It's like a summer's day pressed into vinyl. So good. It's amazing.
Oh, I'm really checking like that.
What's it called again, Steve?
The band are called Crying and the album is called Beyond the Fleeting Gales.
I want this so bad.
And it's on...
I really did.
It's on Run for Cover Records. I had to get it from the States now. That was the only couple. They're on Bandcamp.
Fantastic.
That's where I got it from.
Fantastic.
Does anyone remember or like any fans of the Catherine Wheel?
Yeah. Black Metallic. Oh.
Black Metallic.
Oh.
I gotta say my favorite album of theirs is Adam and Eve. And Chrome I like a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought the 12-inch of Black Metallic on the first night I ever DJed at my club, and that's quite a long record to play when you're trying to impress people at a nightclub. I think the full version is about 8 minutes long, and it's quite a monster. But what a because they kind of then come back, didn't they? Around maybe 98, 99, and it was kind of far more sort of. That the shoegaze had stopped, hasn't it? And it had gone a bit more kind of, a bit more rock. And
yeah, they had a really rocky album around 95 that was sort of grungy.
Yeah, oh, it might even have been that one. Yeah,
and then the one after it was much more acoustic and much more sort of spacey.
Yeah,
that one is fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had that rock period. The single off that one was Way Down.
That's right. That's it. That's it. And was someone called Delirious?
Delicious?
Delicious. That was it. Yeah. Like, yeah, I do remember, like, they were getting a lot of radio play over here around then, and which was weird because stuff like Black Metallic didn't. It was, it, you know, it flew under the radar for a lot of people over here. And but yeah, it kind of loosely got sort of thrown in with you know, Ride and the Valentines and Slow Dive, because it was very like Black Metallic is a real shoegaze, like lovely record. Yeah, solid shout. Anyone else want to throw one in the mix?
I want to throw a newcomer.
Go on.
I had to take my daughter to go and see a boy band in London a couple of weeks ago, and called Aidan Bissett. He was great. But the warm-up was a girl called Coco and the Lost. And if you imagine Kate Bush with The Cure and chucking a few synths, she was amazing. You know, you sit there and go, I'm not expecting much, but wow. By the end of it, I'm like, this is really good. She's about 25. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was pop. But it was fantastic. Yeah, Coco and the Lost. And she's got a single out called I've Got Nothing, John. And I was just like, I really like that.
Yeah.
It was good.
Fantastic. I'm going to throw one in there on the pop tip. And I'm going to go Churches. I think they're fantastic pop. And I think, I just don't think they're as big as they should be. I think she's got everything about her screams superstar. And I think her voice is just off the scale. And I think I discovered them when I first heard Recover, which I think is just an absolute perfect pop record. Over's just a fantastic, like they've got so many real pop gems. And I just love the fact that when they play it live, it takes me back to 87, 88, your likes of the PSBs and Erasure and Mode, and just the two guys with the synths and someone up front. I love that look. I think it looks so strong. And she's captivating to watch live as well. You know, she absolutely owns it. And she's this wee little pop gem that just has got this voice to die for. And yeah, Churches, absolutely love them. She's put out some solo stuff as well, which is ace. Yeah, Churches, love them. Sean, you had your hand up. Sorry, what was that?
No, I was going to say.
Sorry, if you're talking that pop era, we haven't mentioned the Communards.
Yes, yeah. Some absolute pop nuggets there. Solid chat. Eric, what was you going to add to that? Sorry, mate.
I was going to say, if you're going to say Churches, how about The Church, Australian band?
Yeah. Hmm.
Under the Milky Way tonight.
Yeah, great shout.
Album's great.
I think Mark, who normally joins us here from Australia, I think he had one of those one of the guys from the band on his music podcast. I'll get him to share the link. I'm sure it was. He had them on, so I'll get him to share the link in the link when we put up the playlist to this. Sean, did you have another one, mate?
Yeah, just a band that's just come to my mind, which I've not listened to for ages, but I loved the first album when it came out. It's a band called Chewing on Tinfoil, and they're an Irish punk band, but I'm not sure if they're even still about, but they're I don't think they got massive or anything, but hey, they have a great name, and that first album, Get Rich or Try Dying. It's a great little listen.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll never forget the guy I saw at Basel and Swimming Pool that had Get Rich or Try Dying tattooed really badly across his back. That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Chewing Tinfoil, what a fucking great name for a band.
Brilliant, Matt.
Love it. Anybody else got some C's? We got a few minutes to get a few in. What you got, Mr. Lovell?
Nobody's mentioned them yet. Commodores.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. There you go. A few people have got some notes on that.
And I had Captain Beefheart, because I'm a bit of a Captain Beefheart fan as well.
Yeah.
But that's not for everyday listening to most people.
Well, if we're talking grooves of the Commodores, then it's crazy that we shouldn't mention Chic, right? Because, I mean, they're not shy of a tune, right?
No, they're an incredible band as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just seen they're doing Latitude on the Sunday, and I'm a little bit tempted because I've still never seen Nile Rodgers. And when you see them Chic gigs now, he, you know, he obviously plays all the stuff that he wrote for Sister Sledge and Bowie, and but he's actually, the headline is Duran Duran, so I'd be interested to see what happens with Notorious, because that was him as well, wasn't it? And stuff he'd done with Madonna. Guy's a dude, man. Nile Rodgers is an absolute dude. Yeah, good shout, Commodores. As we're speaking of Lionel Richie, have any of you watched the live, the We Are the World documentary on Netflix? How good was that?
It was really good. I didn't expect it to be so good, but it was fantastic.
No, absolutely. For anyone that's not watched that, I highly recommend it. It's the I won't sort of give too much away, but that whole song was recorded after an awards ceremony, like their version of the Brits, I can't think what it was called, the American Music Awards or something like that, and they had to try and get everybody there, and it was a year.
Well, Glenn was standing there like really socially awkward, just like, I'm surrounded by all these people.
And that's the weird bit, isn't it? When someone sort of says, like, someone has to have a sort of word with Bob Dylan because he's feeling really awkward, to try and like pep him up, because everybody's looking over their shoulder, aren't they? Like, oh my God, look who's over there, look who's over there. It's and yeah, it's a really good watch. So I'd recommend
Phil Collins
that.
Was in that. Wasn't Phil Collins part of that whole? I know that was Live Aid.
That was Live Aid, wasn't it?
He did. He went there. Yeah, he did both, didn't he?
He played live on both, didn't he? They flew him. They flew him via Concorde, didn't they? But I can't think what it's called. But if you put, I'm sure if you put in "We Are the World," it'll present itself.
Like
it's,
to remember or something like that.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a brilliant bit. I don't want to give away too much, but they're asking each other for autographs, which is
yeah.
They're sort of starstruck with each other, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is that the big winners of the awards that night, I believe, were Madonna and Prince, and obviously neither of those made it to the recording, which I think. Do they touch much on Madonna on it? Obviously, there's a lot of talk that is Prince going to turn up, and he didn't. But and who's the guy that Al Jarreau, who done the moonlighting theme amongst other things? He's pissed out of his head.
There's another funny bit where Stevie Wonder wants to do something in Swahili.
That's right.
He kind of goes down the Swahili route, and Waylon Jennings walks out because he doesn't really like the sound.
Apparently he went back in and recorded.
Oh, good, good.
Because his name's on the credits, but
that's hilarious. Though.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Obviously, it goes back to, and it starts with Jackson and Richie writing it, and it's a really good little watch. That I'd highly recommend it. Have I got what else we got? Has anyone got another one they want to throw in?
Just want to throw it.
Steve Priest, throw that one in there.
Cynical smile.
Like Southend's finest, mate. Where else have we got here?
Oh, Tripping Up.
See, I don't think Culture Club have got any good songs.
No.
Like, I don't know. I don't mind Church of the Poison Mind. But I have this conversation on the 80s podcast all the time, that I think they were just so iconic, and George looked so incredible and was such an amazing pop star, that I don't know. I just think when I hear like Come a Chameleon Now or Give Me Time, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, I just feel a little bit underwhelmed. I just don't think they sort of hold up like a lot of the other great pop records from the 80s. And Roy Hayes literally, like, lived about four doors up from Scroobius Pip. He's a Stamford boy. And Culture Club played their first ever gig at the Brush. That was their first ever gig at the Toothbrush. And yeah, about 15 years ago, they come back down and MTV made a documentary and they brought them back to the club. And I had to sort of look after them for the day and wander around the club with them. And they're all absolutely smashing. And yeah, I think Boy George is more interesting than their music. I think his books are fantastic, and you know, just so iconic. But just for me, I think the songs fall a little short. But there you go. I want to throw in CSS because I've heard that they're back, and I thought Love Fox was a fantastic front person for a band, and I thought Let's Make Love and Listen to Death From Above was an absolutely fantastic pop single. So I'm going to throw some CSS in there. Double C, I'm going to go in it. I know it's a bit dad rock, but I'm going to go Counting Crows. August and Everything After, like that first record.
I saw them open for another C band, Cracker, in 93. It was right after that album came out, and it was the only time, none of us had heard of them at that point, and it was the only time I've ever been at a concert where the opening band got called back out on stage by the crowd, because the crowd was so impressed with them. They got their own encore as the opening band at the Roxy, which is this tiny, tiny club in LA. It's like a 400, 500 seater. And they got such an overwhelming applause that they got brought back out.
Yeah. His voice and that first record, he's pretty special. Like,
that's a great album.
Yeah. Oh, it really is. But let's shout out Low by Cracker. That's a fantastic single, that is. I don't know
if the Jones Lake brush cycle.
It was. It's all about Sullivan Street or Raining in Baltimore. I think they're the two on that first record. There's a, I don't know if you remember when I had Frank Turner on the podcast, and he said he was like his older brother was really into like Counting Crows and the Levellers, so that was like all the stuff that he was sort of listening to when he was young, you know, in his brother's record collection, and he absolutely loves August and Everything After. And he said he played a gig as when he got solo as Frank Turner in Baltimore, and it started raining. So he was like, "How do I not perform Raining in Baltimore?" So he said, "I played Raining in Baltimore," and then a little while after, when he'd finished, he got a message from Adam Duritz, who apparently was in the crowd, saying, "Mate, that was great." And it was just like, "Holy shit!" Just like. Played like the Counting Crows track in Baltimore while it's raining to the guy from Counting Crows, which was up there with Frank, not Turner, Frank. Oh, God. Gallows. Frank Carter's second appearance. I don't know if you have listened yet when I had Frank a few weeks ago, where he talks about being at that concert and Rage Against the Prophets of Rage were playing, and he was saying in, you know, side of stage, and they called him on, and he got to sing Killing in the Name, and he said he got too much. And I don't know if you've since gone and watched the video on YouTube. It's unbelievable. He just looks like all of his dreams have come true. He turns round and there's Be Real, Chuck D and Rage behind him, and he's just playing this huge crowd, and then as soon as it really goes by the middle eight, you can see he just literally explodes and can't handle it and just jumps into the crowd, and you can see like Chuck Dean like, where the fuck's he gone? And he was just like, I just couldn't do it, it was too much, I had to go and hide. But yeah, what a wonderful story. And yeah, then went and watched that. So if you get a chance on YouTube, give it a look, because it's absolutely wonderful. Well, look, we're at the hour mark. Has anyone else got something they want to throw in before we wrap? Steve, what you got, mate?
Chapter House, Pearl. Perfect song.
Oh, what a absolute cracker of a record. For those that haven't heard Chapter House's single, Pearl, it's an absolute early 90s indie classic. It is a shoegaze anthem with just one of the biggest beats you will ever hear. What an intro that is as well, and big sort of synthy strings, and the follow-up single Falling Down as well is absolutely fantastic. It's got that lovely 90s sort of like wah indie jangle guitar that was used on literally everything, and I don't know if anyone can help me out on this, but I think Death in Vegas sampled Falling Down, that kind of wow that intro guitar lick at the beginning of Dirt by Death in Vegas. I might be wrong, but I think they might have sampled that, and that's where it come from. But yeah, Chapter House, Pearl, that's a fantastic banger. That any more?
I was going to just mention that Camper Van Beethoven.
Oh,
they were sort of like, you know, ska punk sort of
Take the skinheads bowling and stuff. Yeah.
The David Lowery is coming in for Cracker. Yeah.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that. Wow.
That's, yeah. He's the lead singer of both those bands. Yeah.
Really?
Camper Van Beethoven and Cracker. Yeah.
I did not know that. I love a little bit of nerdy knowledge like that. That's banked. That's fantastic. Did not know that. Any more?
Tracy Chapman.
Oh, fantastic. Did you see her? Was she at the, what was the recent awards? Was it the Emmys or the whatever they were?
Grammys, yeah.
Yeah, she done Fast Car with some dude. I don't know who he is. I'm probably too old to know who he is.
Good?
Yeah, yeah. How can you not see Tracy Chapman playing Fast Car and it not be good? He's a pretty perfect record, isn't it? And I seen an interview once with Michael Stipe and he said, what's the one song you wish you could have written? And he said, talking about Revolution by Tracy Chapman, which is fantastic. And yeah, and it's a shame, isn't it, that so many people don't realise that
Boyzone
Baby Can Hold You, and it's not a Boyzone record. It's a beautiful, beautiful record by Tracy Chapman. Yeah, fantastic shout, mate. All right. Well, look, thanks ever so much for joining me this evening, people. I'm going to press stop on this episode, but don't go anywhere.